God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this seventh Sunday of Pascha, serves as a bridge between the Feast of the Ascension, which we celebrated last Thursday, and the Feast of Holy Pentecost next Sunday. Today, a passage from the Gospel of St. John, frequently called the High Priestly Prayer of Christ, is read and proclaimed throughout the entire Orthodox world. Christ's prayer today is the summit of his farewell discourse. The Lord, like a priest standing before the holy table, prays for those who will betray him, for those who will flee at the very first sign of danger, and he prays for his people because he loves them. The hour has come, Christ says today, the hour of crucifixion, the hour of death, the hour of glory, the hour in which he moves from eternity to time and from time to eternity. He prays this prayer after the Last Supper and before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not a sermon or a parable, but a whispered yearning to the Father as he prepares to walk into betrayal. It is the cry of God for union with man, not as metaphor, but as mystical reality. For Christ is not prescribing an ethic or even a morality. He is unveiling the final purpose of creation, that we may be drawn into the very life of God, to be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And this is the holy audacity of Christ and his church, that we are invited into this life, not as spectators, not as servants, but as participants in divine love. Christ does not say, let them behave like us. He says, let them be in us. It is a union more intimate than thought or breath. It is a marriage of wills, a transparency of love. There is indeed a haunting beauty in Christ's solitude this night, the night of betrayal and terror and confusion, but ultimately of love and of glory. The disciples are asleep. He's surrounded by the trees he once spoke into being. The moonlight strikes the stones he had walked over for years, and yet he does not invoke his power. He does not call down fire or the heavenly hosts. He kneels in the dark, prays, and walks willingly to Golgotha. Here we see the entire mystery of salvation, that Christ came to give us the glory and unity that he shares with the Father before the world was, the life of Trinitarian love. The life that Christ prays for today, the life that he gives us, is never abstract. It is not digital. It is tangible, concrete, incarnational, and uncreated. We are given his voice, his face, his life. It is Christ himself extended like the cross across all generations, past, present, and future. His life, merciful without sentimentality, severe without cruelty, uncompromising without violence, obedient without resentment. The apostles and the holy fathers of the church speak to this directly. They describe salvation not merely as forgiveness, but as illumination, renewal, and the transformation of the inner person. They speak of the eyes of the heart being opened, the mind being renewed, of discernment being healed. For faith is not merely something of the head or of the lips. It is a participation in a new way of seeing and a new way of being, of unity. Not the unity of politics or social movements that only bring division and discord, but the unity that Christ shares with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this is why, historically, Orthodoxy rarely begins with arguments. Instead, we point to the saints, for the world is rarely converted by arguments, but it is almost always converted by wonder. And the church has always understood this plainly. Where Christ truly dwells, he produces recognizable human beings, men and women whose lives bear the shape of Christ himself, not as imitation or performance, but as transformation. Across centuries, the Orthodox saints appear with striking consistency, the same cruciform love, the same humility, the same freedom from the need to justify oneself. They do not resemble founders or movements. They resemble him. They resemble Christ. The saints love without fear. They suffer without bitterness. They radiate and move through the world like exiles who have already returned home. Their lives are a riddle that only union, that union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can answer. Father Raphael Noica, a Romanian monk and a spiritual son of St. Sophroni of Essex, he tells us that man is orthodox by nature, that orthodoxy is man's single reality. It is in human nature, all of us. Man lost this through the fall, but Christ came to give this nature back to us. Man is alive, Father Raphael says, until he becomes true in Christ and his church, until he becomes like Christ, who is called the truth. Only in Christ can man come back to his true nature as identity. Only in this way does he rediscover his true nature, as it was conceived by God before the ages, when he thought of making man in the divine image and likeness. This is why the Orthodox Church makes a claim that sounds so offensive to modern ears, that this is the church that was planted by Christ, that it has never ceased to be that church, and that while it has grown and deepened in understanding, it has never altered the inner life, the dogmas, the worship, the sacramental reality, or the aesthetical vision. For this life is not imagined or invented or reconstructed, it is an inheritance where the full medicine has been preserved, guarded, transmitted, lived, embodied, and spread throughout the entire world. The Orthodox Church does not say that God is absent elsewhere. Orthodoxy says quietly and firmly that this is where the cure has been kept intact. And if what we desire is not merely to talk about Christ, but to become like him, then this is where we must learn to see. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, Christ prays today. During the anaphora of the Divine Liturgy, before the gifts are elevated on the altar, the priest says this very beautiful prayer. He says, right before the gifts are raised, remembering the saving commandment and all those things which have come to pass for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the sitting at the right hand, and the second and glorious coming. Through the Divine Liturgy and the sacramental life of the Church, culminating in the Eucharist, we participate in this entire economy of Christ, of the glory that Christ shares with the Father. Then, while the gifts are elevated, ascended to the Father, we hear the conclusion of the prayer, offering up to thee thine own of thine own on behalf of all and for all. Is this not such a beautiful image of Christ's prayer today? Thine own of thine own. The gift of bread and wine, the gift of our own earthly life and everything we bring to the temple today, our joy, our grief, our fatigue, our reluctance, our resistance, all of these already belong to Christ, and they are offered up with the hope and promise of the Holy Spirit's descent, on behalf of all and for all. Like Christ, the Church prays for those who can't, for those who won't, and especially for our enemies. As Christ prays to the Father today, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Let us enter into that mystery today, brothers and sisters, and every day, for every single one of us was created to share in this life and glory that Christ shares with the Father, to grow in union and love with Christ and with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.